What is SCC? What does it mean to be a part of Southport Church of Christ? So our vision here at Southport is about following Jesus, transforming lives.
This is the mission Jesus calls us to, that we're not just a church with five pastors, but we're a church of over 600 ministers.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Buenos dias. Buenas noches. Sorry. Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat. That's good. Maya bengi ke kongan po. That's my own dialect. And so, are you excited to hear about this apostle called Thomas? Yes. So before we start, why don't we just bring it before the Lord and ask Him for His leading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for being here tonight. Lord, we come to you tonight with an open heart and an open mind. And Lord, we want to encounter you in a fresh and powerful way where you can change us and move us to the next level of our relationship with you. And Lord, we are willing to submit to your calling upon our lives so that, Lord, you can make an impact not only to us but to the lives of people through us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in our midst tonight. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name,
amen,
amen and amen. And so, folks, the story of the Bibles points toward Jesus. And all the stories afterwards point us back to Jesus. The Bible is the story of us and God. And the main story is Jesus. And so, you know, when God's story runs into your life, you begin to live a new story. And that's the beauty of it. And the more we learn about all the disciples or the apostles of Jesus, they're just ordinary, everyday people just like you and me. And the more we get to know about them, the more we understand the New Testament. How the Lord Jesus used these people just like you and me. You know, this morning I preached about the life and ministry of the Apostle Peter. Peter is one of the most colorful, you know, character and delightful character, because there's something about him that is just so relatable to you and to me. You know, his dynamic personality, you know, he's just like a human being, so just like you and me. You know, we see him a lot of time opening his mouth in the wrong way, and we see one time he was so promising to Jesus his undenying devotion that he will do everything to follow Jesus no matter what. And then you see him standing in the courtyard denying even knowing Jesus, not once, but twice, but three times. And so that's the kind of man Peter was. Now, we're going to talk about Thomas. Well, you all know Thomas, his nickname, right? Thomas what? Doubting Thomas. I really feel sorry for Thomas, you know? And so Thomas is like a second daughter, you know, Olivia. When Olivia, when she was 4 years old, she has this inquisitive nature. And now she just loved to ask question after question. Like, we bought her a goldfish, right? Little goldfish. She asked me, "Dad, why goldfish? You know, they call goldfish when they're orange. Why they got so big eyes and fat belly?" I said, so that we're going to love them so that they look adorable. But why, Dad? But why? Wow, God, that's the way God made them. But why? I don't understand it. And I keep saying, that's the way God made them. That's it. Sorry, you know? And that's the kind of personality Thomas is. And so we know, the Bible called him Doubting Thomas. And so that's not the real personality of Thomas, you know? It's probably to say that Thomas was a person of, maybe he was a negative person? Pessimistic is the correct word, I think. You know, he was a person who worried a lot. And he tended to be anxious and panicky kind of person. Have you met that kind of people? You know, Thomas is like Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh. You know? Can you picture that?
Okay.
Yeah? You know, everything is like disaster for him, right? Because he has this kind of pessimistic attitude. And here we can see that's part of his weakness. And John tells us Thomas is mentioned only once in the two synoptic gospels. And in each case, he just simply the other guy. You know? No details given about him by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only John Gospel. And so I'm going to take you into a journey, okay? So we can learn who really Thomas is. In your church tradition or history tells us that Thomas traveled outside the Roman Empire as a missionary. Possibly as far as India. He preached the gospel in India, which, tell us another story of him, isn't it? Indication of his boldness in telling the gospel. He may have reached up to Mysore in India, and he baptized a lot of believers there. He was probably the first to bring the gospel to the Far East. That might explain why he's considered the patron saint of India. You know, in the Indian language, we see the word Thoma there. Today, he was one of the popular disciples. And I was talking to some of the doctors who are Indians here, and they tell we're part of Thomas, descendant. I go, wow, okay. You know, despite of the few references to Thomas in the New Testament, there are some compelling lessons you and I can learn from Thomas. You know, while I was preparing this message, I thought, what else do we know about Thomas? Doubting Thomas? But I was so surprised. Because during his time, he impacted a lot of people around the world, including India. And this person was so pessimistic, Jesus, when he met Jesus, he from pessimism to a great evangelist. Wow. And so I want to share with you, first point is that Jesus cares about our fear and emotional complexity. That's the first point I want to share with you. You know, it's easy to think of courage as a trait, right? Whether you have it or not. And a lot of times we surprise ourselves that we are more than courageous than others. Look at the person next to you. Who's more courageous than the person next to you? And that we surprise sometimes. And when Jesus told his disciples, this is the next thing, okay? We're going to start discovering who Thomas is. You know, in John 8:11, verse 8, we see Jesus when he returned to see Lazarus, right? In Judea. He was so determined he's going to go there to heal him. But the disciple warned him that if he go back there, he's going to die, right? And they cannot even suggest to Jesus, don't. And therefore, they were so fearful about the fact that Jesus is going there to die. And here, we see that they're just convinced. Can you imagine what's happening in Thomas' mind, right? And this is the point where Thomas, for the first time, spoke up. Here's where we're going to meet him first. Open your Bible to John 11:16. We see here, Thomas has the courage, you know, to ask Jesus and to say something in front of the other disciple. This is what he said. Thank you. Then Thomas, known as Didymus, said to the rest of disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." If you really look as if like this is Thomas, as a pessimist person, you know, he said, "Say, let us also go and die with him." That kind of thing, you know. He didn't say like Peter, "Oh, well, we're going to die with him." Not like that. And so here we can see typical Thomas. But it is a heroic, courageous pessimism. How's that going to work? He could see nothing but disaster ahead. He was convinced that Jesus was heading straight to be killed. And so Thomas was so determined to go and die with Jesus. Friends, we need to admire his courage, right? He's willing to die with Jesus. Like Peter, he was all in. And Thomas, the same thing. He was all in. They were loyal and devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say this, church? Isn't it easy to be pessimist? It's a miserable way to live. An optimist might have said, "Let's go. Everything will work out. The Lord knows what he's doing. He says we won't stumble. Therefore, we will be fine." Not with a pessimist. A pessimist will say, just like I demonstrated before, "He's going to die. And we are going to die with him." And Thomas, and in his courage, in the face of his pessimism, he continued, as if like he's saying, "If Jesus is going to die," he said, "we are prepared to die with him." You know, he put it in our own context. He's kind of saying, "Guys, hey guys, suck it up, guys, let's go and die. Better to die with the Lord Jesus Christ than to be separated and be left behind." And here we can see the progression. You see, Thomas was a great example of strength to the rest of the disciples, because during those times they were so fearful that Jesus is going to die. You see, Thomas, he had no illusion that following the Lord Jesus would be easy. No, he was all in. He's prepared to die. But he followed the Lord Jesus with relentless devotion and courage. Thomas' profound love for the Lord Jesus Christ showed up again in John 14. If you have your Bible with you, John 14, verse 2 to 5. And the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples about his imminent departure. He's been telling them for a while. They didn't believe him. And now he's telling them. And then Jesus said, "In my Father's house has what? Many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. I don't know what's happening in Thomas' head during this time. He says, you know the place where I'm going. Then suddenly Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And here we can see his pessimism. In essence, he was saying, Lord, you're leaving us. We will never get where you're going. We don't even know that place. How are we supposed to get there? And it is better to die with you because then there is no separation. Church, here is a man with deep love for his Lord. His relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is second to none. Thomas' heart was broken as he was listening to the Lord Jesus Christ telling his disciples of leaving them. He was shattered. The thought of losing the Lord Jesus Christ paralyzed Thomas. He had become so attached to the Lord Jesus Christ in those 3 years that when he said in the beginning, he was so glad to die with him and losing Jesus without him, it will be a really bad thing for him. You know, that is why Jesus cares about our struggles. He can see that in Thomas. That is the second point. Jesus cares about our struggles. Even though it is obvious that Thomas is missing the point what Jesus is making when he said that in John 14, what I like about Jesus is he didn't rebuke Thomas, but he was gentle with Thomas. In fact, because of Thomas' question, the Lord Jesus says one of the most profound things was written in the Gospel of John. How did he respond to Thomas? Jesus answered in verse 6 and 7. If you see it, he said, Thomas, look at me. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Thomas, no one comes to the Father except through me. You understand that, Thomas? And then he said, if you really know me, you will know the Father as well. Look at me, Thomas. From now on, Jesus says, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Wow. And church, here's a lesson that you and I should learn, that you and I should not be ashamed of our questions. Do you have questions in life? Yeah, I do. You know, asking for clarification can lead to a new insight and breakthroughs. Here we see how much the Lord Jesus cared for Thomas. He revealed to Thomas his true identity, his deity, in a non-judgmental way, but in a gentle, loving way. I don't know about you folks. When I was in my journey in my Christian life, I had a lot of questions. Do you? And if you're struggling with your personal issue in your life today, I want to encourage you to ask God to give you the wisdom. Ask God to reveal himself to you. He will, in a powerful and tangible way. Church, it's okay not to be okay. Be honest to yourself and to God. And the Lord Jesus understands that you are not perfect. Like the psalm in Psalm 42, he really expressed his own struggle. He says this in Psalm 42, 1 to 5. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I would yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Wow. It was just so brutally honest. And church, whatever you're going through right now, there is always hope. Can I tell you, hope only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the only way. When there seems to be no way, He's the only truth that you can depend on, and He's the only one that can provide and give you new life, new beginning. And He's inviting you to come. We just in the beginning, that plug it in Matthew 11:28. I'll say it again. It's there. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Jesus says, He's inviting us to come to Him. Why? He says, because He's going to give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. And when you come to me, I'm going to give you rest. The rest that you're looking for a long, long time. And the condition is you need to come to Him. You need to be honest to yourself that it's okay not to be okay. And so, church, let's pick up to the next picture in John 20. We all know in John 20, the Lord Jesus, after the Lord Jesus died, they're all shattered, afraid. Probably they lost hope, thinking the Lord is gone. What's going to happen now? And after the Lord Jesus died, the disciples were in deep sorrow. I just can't imagine this, because emotionally they were so impacted. They saw how the Lord, trials, the flogging and the crucifixion took a lot of them. And now, what's more with Thomas? I just imagine Thomas. He's finding hard to bounce back, maybe because of his own personality. To him, everything almost, that's it. It's all over. Red Rover. He was deeply hurt knowing that his Lord is gone. He was fearful and depressed. Church, how would you feel if you were Thomas at this point? How would you feel? Would you be the same? Or would you say, like his personality type, that's it, I'm gone. I'll never come back to this church anymore. My faith is gone. When I asked him to show up, he didn't show up. You see, when Jesus is in his tomb, we know in John 20, the disciples got together again. For what? To encourage one another. Open your Bible, it says, because in that upper room, probably in Jerusalem. They all got together. They were all afraid. Why? Because it says, with locked doors. Because they were so afraid of the Jewish authority. Let's pick up what John says in 20, verse 19 and 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with doors locked for the fear of Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Wow. And after he said that, he showed his hands and side. You know what happened? The reaction of the disciples, they were overjoyed. Their hope became alive. Have you ever questioned why Thomas wasn't there? I was leading this. Where is Thomas? Where is he? What is he doing? Is it possible that Thomas absolutely destroyed? Probably he was just walking somewhere else and wallowing in his own misery. He could only see the worst is about to happen. Even worse is about to happen. Church, no doubt, Thomas regretting the fact that he didn't die with the Lord Jesus, as he's so determined in the first place. In John 11. And Thomas may have felt probably when he saw the Lord died and he was in the tomb, he felt so alone. He felt betrayed, rejected, maybe forsaken. He was not in the mood to socialize. As an introvert, when you're low, you don't want to go to meet someone. Is that true? But as an optimist person, an extrovert, I love to be with people. And here is Thomas. Alone, by himself. And then in verse, 25? The disciple was so overjoyed and telling Thomas a week later, and what happened? He didn't believe him. Let's read in verse 24 and 25. It says, "But Thomas, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" I can just picture, you know, Peter, "Hey, Thomas, we have seen the Lord," you know? He was so excited. But he said to them, it's almost like this. Can you picture? Unless with fold, unless his hands, the imprint of his nails, and put my fingers into the place of the nails and put my head on his side, I'm telling you, Peter, I will not believe." Because of this statement, we called him Doubting Thomas. Thomas' courage, the moment of Thomas' courage didn't define him. Neither his doubt. Can I just tell you folks that all of us have a moment of spectacular failure? True? And we also have moments that we will never forget. What we can learn from Thomas is this: being with Jesus' presence brought out the best of him by increasing his faith. That's the beauty of being with Jesus. But at the same time, being away from Jesus seems to trigger more doubt on Peter's heart. Can you relate to that? I remember when I doubt, I go away, and I even become more negative. Away from Jesus. You know, Thomas' words help us to understand the difference between, listen to me, we need to understand the difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt says this, I cannot believe. Why? Because I can see too many problems. Can you relate to that? Unbelief says, I will not believe unless you give me the evidence I ask for. Jesus knows all this. So what Jesus did, he showed up again. He showed up again, and he would like to tell Thomas about his resurrection. And the good thing about Jesus is this. When he showed up for the second time, thank goodness that Thomas was there. And he said the same thing. You know, they got it together with locked doors, and Jesus suddenly, zoop, right in the middle of them. And he went, Shalom. Peace be with you. And then straight away, he looked at Thomas. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, look at me, man. See my hand? Come here, come here. See my side? I'm real, man. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. What can we learn from this? What Jesus is saying to Thomas is this. Literally, he's saying, stop becoming faithless, Thomas. But start believing. Because Jesus saw the dangerous process is working in Thomas' heart. And Jesus wants to stop there to save him. Why don't we pick up in verse 26 and 27? Okay? Here it is. As a week later, when the disciples in the house again and Thomas was with them, through though the doors were locked, Jesus stood and among them and said, Peace be with you. And he said, put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put your into my side. And Jesus said in a loving way. Like I said, I just felt bad for Thomas. You know, he's the only disciple who Jesus asked, come here, man. You know, because he asked, right? Thomas asked, unless I put my hands into his side, I won't believe. And Jesus granted his request. Church, we think faith, when we think of faith and doubt, as opposite. We think of faith and doubt as opposite, but the reality is not true because faith and apathy are more opposite. Why? Because faith and doubt is often a key part of our journey to faith, like Thomas. Doubt can bring you to, it propels you to check where you are in your walk with the Lord. It can be what shapes us up. It can be what pushes us out of our own comfort zone to the next place where there's a better knowledge and insight in our relationship with God. It can be the ticket that starts our journey to a new level in our relationship with God. It can be a sign, not the absence of God, but God working in us to do something new. It is a stop along the way that most of us make more than once. And when we find ourselves there, it's an indication not to be like an unbeliever, but it is a sign that we are taking our relationship with God seriously enough that we ourselves being honest. And we letting ourselves start a journey even though we don't know where we're going. Is there anyone here never doubt? We all doubt, correct? It's good, you're being honest. And at least all of us who see faith as a journey, that we don't have one stop here and there. Yes, our faith can be shaken sometimes, like I said in the beginning. You know, we all question sometimes why sometimes that God showed up to Peter, why didn't he show to Thomas to start with? Why God, why didn't you show when I need you? Especially when I in need, you're not there. I feel like you forsaken me. Sound familiar? And yet God says, I'm always with you. I'm always there for you. And that is why the last point I want to share with you is this. Jesus loves you regardless of your past failures. How many times have we failed the Lord Jesus? I can't count. That's too many. One of the things that I want you and I to recognize is this. The gentleness of our Lord Jesus expresses here in the life of Thomas. Yes, Thomas failed. The good thing about the Lord Jesus, he did not discipline Thomas because of the lack of faith. Jesus actually understands Thomas' weaknesses. And let me tell you, he understands your weaknesses. Instead, what did Jesus do? He addresses Thomas' weaknesses to allow him to believe who Jesus really is. Rather than condemning Thomas, the Lord Jesus graciously hears the cry of Thomas in his own struggle. And guess what? When Jesus showed himself, how did Thomas respond to Jesus? Look at your verse. Look at your Bible. Thomas says, as almost I could, you can see it. The Bible didn't say that. He went like this. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He finally discovered who Jesus really is. Have you? You know, this morning I asked the question, who is Jesus to you? And if Jesus asks you to do something, will you leave everything to follow him? You know, the Lord Jesus here in this passage, he wanted to strengthen Thomas' faith. That's why he said in verse 29, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. He said, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. He's saying to Thomas, Thomas, it's not too late yet. You're part of it. You are blessed, even right now. Even though you didn't understand all this. And here's the thing that we need to remember. Jesus is reminding us that to trust in him especially when things are getting harder and tougher in this COVID we live in, when we don't understand His plan. What is the plan? Why He allowed this COVID? We need to surrender anything, our struggles and doubts. But also, Thomas reminds us is this, that unbeliefs rob us of blessings and opportunities. Did you get that? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, which is my favorite, light verse of mine. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways. What are we going to do? In some of your versions, it says, submit or surrender to Him. And then He said, and He will make your path straight. Here's the question that we need to consider. Timothy Keller says this. Thank you. It says, taking the time and effort to answer hard questions gives believers the opportunity to deepen their own faith while creating the possibility that doubtful people may become open to the joy of Christianity. See, when I look at Peter's life, hard to contain him, impulsive, and then Thomas is the opposite. And yet, God transformed both of them. And if God can transform them, He can transform you into a new Thomas, into a new Peter. And then you can say to Him, my Lord and my God. And no matter what you want me to do, I'm going to follow you. Is that what God's saying to you tonight? Can you hear? He's tapping your heart and inviting you to come. And if that's you, I want to encourage you. Today is the day to start afresh. A fresh and new relationship with God. Yes, me probably you haven't felt like, I don't know. After all that I've done, I don't know how it's going to get really close to Jesus. Jesus says, wide open, I love you. And I will forgive you and restore you. I'm going to ask David to play a background music. And I want you to all stand up. We're going to pray. And then we're going to sing the last song. But this is what we're going to do. There will be three questions. And I want you to be in group of four and talk about this. Okay? But we're going to pray. Let's all stand up. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you didn't leave us by ourselves. You came become flesh to give us hope, to give us life. And Lord, there are many times we feel like we don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your grace. And yet you continue to reach out to us and say, I love you with an everlasting love. Come home, son. Come home, daughter. Regardless of what your past, just come to me and I will give you rest. Just talk to Him right now and say, Lord, here I am. including all my failures and my weaknesses, I surrender to you. Lord, bless your people and empower them to become bold in their faith, like Thomas. Lord, he shared to everyone about this new relationship he discovered with you, Jesus. That love and joy and peace, nobody else can take away from him. And thank you that you have the gift of eternal life. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.